My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sabre Greg with you on this Sunday morning. Glad you're with us. And it's fourth day.
Fourth day. You're doing a good job. You're doing wonderfully, sir.
And
good morning, Jaja.
Morning.
And a good morning to everybody in the wonderful community of Lovejoy.
And Lovejoy.
Lovejoy.
Yes, the downtown boulevard down there in Clay County. And I want to listen while we listen to this.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote on my social media.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know she was going to play this song. I didn't mean for her to play, but anyway, no, throw it in there. This is Bootsy Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I went for a workout Friday morning. Worked out, and after I said, let me just go and sit and start, get me a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and I can get on my iPads and stuff. And, you know, there's certain things you expect to hear while you're in Starbucks. You know, you might hear some Sarah Vaughan, or you might, you know, might hear something like that.
Like jazzy stuff.
This came on. Bootsy Collins, Munchies for Your Love, came on. It's Starbucks, man.
What was the Starbucks located?
The Starbucks. I don't know where located, but I mean, do you understand? You just don't expect to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So, last week you did something for the first time. Did you do another spit take?
Just about, man. Thank you, Noel. I didn't mean for you to do that. I was but she saw that social that I put on my social media, and I was inundated by people who, because that album came out like 78.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like this is college days. That song's about 10 minutes long,
yeah.
but it was Bootsy and Munchies for Your Love is just something you don't expect to hear in Starbucks.
That reminds me of so my earliest memories was Herb Kent, the Cool Gent.
Yeah,
he was a DJ in Chicago, and he loved him some Bootsy Collins.
Yeah, Bootsy
he would mention him all the time. Herb Kent, when DJs had those kind of names. Anyway, we are still efforting our guest, still working on that.
Yeah, still working on. Still
okay,
working
so we probably heard that. Oh. I don't do shout outs to McEachin the way I used to.
Maybe not. We'll see.
I had to stop that.
Why you have to stop it?
Because it just, you know, it was, you know, I was leaving out other West Cobb high schools that were actually Harrison, a little closer to me than McEachern, you know. And then you got Marietta, which, you know, you got on there and you know what time of year it is about the toilet paper.
You got Hillgrove.
Hillgrove, too. Yeah, Hillgrove.
Yeah.
But you got Marietta, and if the toilet paper's up in the trees, you know that school year's over.
Or that they won something.
I thought they only did it at the end of the school year.
They do it at the end of the school year, but if they win big state championship or something.
Who would be Marietta's big win other than a championship game? Who's their rival that they need to beat that would
really start the conversation? They have a big rival with McEachern. That's kind of okay, kind of a big rival. Right. Whenever they play in a sport, whatever it is, that's usually a big deal.
Okay.
It usually is. Hopefully we'll be a chance to talk with Coach. But also we're talking about the Corky Kale Dave
Countdown. Hunter
Kickoff Classic, and we're counting down to that. The dates are August 14th through 17th. And, you know, it starts on that Wednesday, the 4:30 game. They're playing at Kale High School on that Wednesday. Atlanta Frederick Douglass will take on LaGrange. That will be the very first high school football game of the season at 4:30 in the afternoon on August 14th. The night game will have North Atlanta against Kale. You'll be able to hear that game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That one will start around 7:30. The next night will be at West Forsyth. The 4:30 game will have South Pauling against Dunwoody. I think it's the first time Dunwoody has been, or South Pauling have been in part of Corky Kale. So welcome to Corky Kale for those two teams at 4:30. The 7:30 game, we have Prince Avenue. We'll come over from the Athens area. We'll be playing against West Forsyth. On Friday, two locations. On Friday, August 16th, first of all, Hebron Christian, they're going to host Therrell 2 p.m. for their game. And then the other games will be at Rome's Barron Stadium. 5 o'clock game, we'll have Callaway against Cass. The 8 o'clock game, which yours truly will be broadcasting along Coach Chris Parker, the Creekside versus Rome game there, and also there will be the a little bit of a soft lunch, if you will, for the high school scoreboard show on that Friday night. Then coming up on Saturday, you got two games. You got the game that we've affectionately called the Biscuits and Gravy game. Brookwood and Walton at 10 a.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The 1 o'clock game will be Alpharetta against Houston County. And so we got a team coming. Middle Georgia will be represented. Stand up. And then 4 o'clock game during that time, because here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we will have Falcons football. They have a 12 noon start that day. And after Falcons football, we join the McEachern and North Gwinnett football game. That's a 4 o'clock game. Going to have Eric Slaughter, Day-Day Lewis, and Garrett Chapman working that one for you. And then the 7 o'clock game that night, we'll wrap things up. Douglas County against Cedar Grove. It's a 7 o'clock start. Going to have Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson, and Garrett Chapman for us. That's get you all lined up for the start of the high school football season, the Dave Hunter Corky Kale Kickoff Classic, and you'll be hearing some of those games.
You're like Mike Tirico.
What?
You're like Mike Tirico in that you got your crew fanned out. You know, like he's the head, he's the anchor of the Olympics.
I miss mentioning in one game. And I hate to miss a shout out to Bo Johnson. Bo Johnson's got the call on the West Forsyth Prince Avenue game.
Again, you're making my point. You have this stable of correspondents that are fanned out throughout the state covering these games, and you're sitting here in the comfort of the anchor's chair, you and Chris. But you're basically
on Friday evening.
Yeah, man. You know, out there and just go, and now we're going to go to the such and such game and so and so.
Well, you know, I think the thing that sets our scoreboard show out from others is that we have people at the games calling in reports, and they're having fun, and they're posting on social media. As well, when they're
big thing you said, they're having fun out there, which you can hear on the air.
That's the thing this fun thing, and it always seems to happen with Day-Day. Day-Day always seems to have a report, and something breaks loose in the background. Somebody, hey, so it's going, there he goes. You know, it's like, Day-Day, how do you always time it right so that you're on with us right when somebody breaks off an 80-yard touchdown run? But that's part of the fun. On Friday nights that we get to have. So we're looking forward to that, you know, and the guys going out and having a good time with the games. I mean, the reports. Obviously, our segments like school days, lining up our list of some people who have played their high school football in the state of Georgia. And, you know, they may not have distinguished themselves as playing at the professional level. They may have distinguished themselves doing something else. And that's always fun when you talk to people like that, like Marquise Grissom. Marquise Grissom, we know for baseball, but you know he was an outstanding high school football player, and so
same with Jeff Francoeur.
Absolutely, you know. So I mean, you make sure when you have that opportunity to let them, you know, share those stories and whatnot. So that's the thing that we enjoy about doing that type thing.
We were still working on trying to get Coach here, but in the meantime, you were absolutely right. Let's clean up something that you corrected me on earlier. It was Ben Hogan. Hogan, who I thought it was Byron Nelson. Had all the accident, but no, let's not sleep on what Ben Hogan did in his prime, 1938 to 59, won 63 professional 63 golf tournaments, served in the Army, ended up as a lieutenant. But driving home to Fort Worth on Monday, 1949, after the Phoenix Open, he and his wife, Valerie, got in a head-on collision with a Greyhound bus.
Wow.
Hogan had reduced his speed to limit the visibility. There's fog going on here, but the bus was attempting to pass another vehicle on a narrow bridge, which left no room to avoid the crash. Hogan threw himself across Valerie to protect her. He would have been killed had he not done so because the steering column punctured the driver's seat of their Cadillac sedan.
Wow.
The accident left Hogan 36 with a double fracture in his pelvis, a fractured collarbone, left ankle fracture, and that messed up his weekend. But then went back out after all that. I'm not going to continue reading all this because it could go on, but
one of the biggest disappointments for my time living and working in Augusta and covering the Masters, and this was in the 80s, so I got a chance to meet and talk to, you know, Sam Snead and Gene Sarazen, Byron Nelson. Ben Hogan wouldn't come back once he wasn't up to competing.
Right.
He just wouldn't come back for the champion's dinner or to just do the honorary things and wear the green jacket and walk. He just wouldn't jump. And I asked people, does he ever come back? They says, since he can't play it, he won't come. And that was the biggest. I wanted to do an interview with him because of his story, because of what he had overcome. You know, his green jacket was there. He just wouldn't come back because he couldn't compete, couldn't play it.
Listen, this guy, 53, he came back in 1953, won 5 of 6 tournaments he entered, including 3 of the majors that year. Got the Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. This is after that accident.
After
so,
accident.
I mean, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. We've got Karen Pestana coming up as we watch some of the stuff that's going on with the Olympics.
There's Sydney McLaughlin. Yeah. Boy, everybody's waiting to see what she will do. Saw her here in town.
Say her name again?
Sydney McLaughlin.
Oh, right.
And she's
the hurdles.
In the hurdles. She came and she competed over at Morehouse, the Edwin Moses track event. So it was good to see her in town leading up to the Olympics. So that's the thing we talked about yesterday. We talked about yesterday, you know, if we're going to have a successful track tour in the States, you know, you need runners like this, you know, to be there and show it. Like I said, it comes down to the shoe folks. If the shoe folks,
I was just going to say, if Nike decides to do it, then there'll be one.
Yeah. Well
or New Balance or whoever.
Or New Balance or Puma, whoever. The shoe folks got to know that their folks are going to be out there competing against good competition that will prepare them for what they're trying to get to. And so I think that's the big part of it, coming off these Olympics. You're going to have some track and field competitors that people will recognize and want to come and see and put them in the right environment. But also you got to get them shoe folks on board. If you get your Adidas, your Nike, and your Puma on board with them, you should be able to get enough of your top competitors. And like I said, throw in an NFL relay team. There's a relay team of 4 NFL players just to, you know, save a lane for them on that track. I think folks will love to come out and see that competition. Now, you got to time it right.
I'm thinking about what time of year it's done.
It'd have to be in the spring. You don't want them to have to miss OTAs or what, you know, when that type thing is going on. It can't be now. Camp's going on. So you got to strategically, you know, time when you would have that in order to have those guys participate.
I also believe it's going to have to be tied to a major network because the visibility of it is going to have to pop right away. If it's on a network, A, it's got to get, you know, on a network. But B, if it's one of those cable channels that, you know, people got to go look up and try to find and nobody sees it, then it defeats the purpose.
You pick it up with NBC and they put it on Peacock.
There you go. You do it something like that.
Everybody's already paying for Peacock now. that's why you drive people for that event.
I got the combo. I got the perfect combination.
Go ahead.
Ready? Under Armour and FS1.
You do that? Okay.
It gives FS1 a larger platform, a larger lane in the sports lane. They're still trying to figure out what they got going on with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharpe and those losses and all that. And then you got Under Armour that still needs to grow in the lane of sports. And to be honest, track and field and, you know, youth sports, that's kind of their real lane. Of like equipment-based sport. Because they're not they're not so fashion driven. They're more equipment and performance driven. So to me, that's a perfect marriage.
Right.
Track and field, Under Armour, FS1. Make it happen.
And she knows. You got to figure it out, Mike.
We got to go workshop.
Let's call Michael Jones. Let's call him up.
We got to go workshop that one.
You know?
All right, listen. I can tell you right now, I got a problem with our next guest. And I told her so yesterday.
Uh-oh.
She better not come in here crowing about what she did yesterday. We're going to have a problem.
Well, she's there.
She's family, so I can snap at her.
She can't leave.
She can't leave. That's the other reason I made a call.
I said, you ought to be having room service breakfast when we talk to you.
Get a breakfast bee. I made a call. She ain't going to get up down Cicero Avenue that quick to Midway. But anyway, she said something to me yesterday that put my bottom lip poked out.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to talk about that when Karen Pistana, our cousin, comes up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I come. You're gonna be wiser. You're gonna be hard. You're gonna be tough. You're gonna be stronger. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9TheGame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.
What's wrong? What, you guys got a problem?
We got family ready to come on here. We're going to talk about this match that's going to come on here, but.
She's delayed. She's supposed to be at the airport, but yeah, she's not.
She's enjoying one of the greatest cities in the world right now, a little bit longer, and there's nothing wrong with that. And yesterday, she got to enjoy the city, you know, and she went out and about, and, you know, so when I reached
had
out.
Had some deep dish pizza.
Well, I don't know what she ate, but she made the mistake of like, trying to show me where she went, Sam.
Oh, my God.
And I want you to read this,
dear.
What I'm showing you right now.
Oh, my.
And tell you what I looked at. No, you take the phone. Go ahead.
Okay.
She made a mistake of sending that to me yesterday and saying what she just said. What's she saying there, Sam?
Right now, I'm in Wrigley Field.
And sent me a picture of it.
Oh, my goodness.
While we were getting the rain here. The source of most of my behind beatings as a kid because I ditched school and went to Cubs games. She was there yesterday.
Now I know why I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's very, you know, it's a rite of passage if you go to school in Chicago before they put the lights in.
Yeah,
you know, you did school, and you went to a Cubs game. And then if you knew you were going to get your behind beat, you just stayed out and took the L to the south side and went to a Sox game. I'm already in trouble, so I might as well just stay out and get two games. Karen Pistain of Tennis Panorama joining Sam and Greg, as always, when we're talking this level of tennis. And Karen, all jokes aside, she has garnered the first since we have been together, Sam. And I don't know if any other shows, maybe other shows have got this, but I know that this is a first for our show. She earned the golden microphone this year.
Okay.
Because she covered the four majors.
Yeah.
And the Olympics.
And the Olympics.
So, Karen Pistain, congratulations. You have garnered the first golden microphone. Anyway, your time in Chicago, how have you enjoyed the city?
Oh, great. I mean, I've been to Chicago before, but just doing some things that I hadn't done before, going to Wrigley Field. I had to say it. But yeah, you know, it's good. And I have a distant relative here, so I checked in with them. They live in this very tall tower in Hyde Park right next to the lake.
Ooh.
So, yep.
That's down there by Obama. Hyde Park, you know, Brian Gumbel and all them Obama.
Maybe,
and all of them.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know about that area. Yeah. That's some good money out there.
Well, although you've been in Chicago, you've been keeping an eye on things in Paris. Thoughts about the way the tennis tournament has gone? And one of the people that we watched with and were kind of disappointed, well, very disappointed, really, was that Coco Gauff didn't advance. And just the way things went down with that match, the images to us weren't real good. I don't know what your take is on.
My take on it, that Coco got pretty over emotional, I think. In all honesty, I felt that she was wrong in the way she acted. Mm-hmm. Now, all of this could have been solved, not just Coco being angry about calls and whatnot, but the fact that there is no line calling system at the Olympic Games. And in the French Open, since it was played at Roland Garros, they need to have a line calling system like they have at every other tournament. But that's beside the point. Yes, disappointing for Coco. She didn't hold her composure. She's 20 years old, but she's been playing, you know, for a long time now. But yeah, very disappointing. Very disappointing. And the American women in general, kind of disappointing. A lot of different dramas there.
Yeah, there was one that with Danielle Collins, I think, even when she departed, she retired in her match, but had some, like, parting words or something. That was some drama with her, right?
Yeah, she had some words about Iga Swiatek saying that she's, you know, she acts one way and another way and is kind of phony and insincere. And I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah, that was new for me. I don't know if you were up on that.
No, that totally shocked me there. And one other U.S. player having issues, Emma Navarro, basically talking about Zhang, who ended up winning the gold medal on the women's single side. And another thing, telling that she's phony or whatever, and I'm like, cheek. Now, Emma Navarro has never said anything to anybody, you know, in this manner, so that totally shocked me. I'm like, you know, yeah, the American women were expected to do, you know, well, medal maybe and all that. So I guess it was very disappointing for them.
Why do you think this comes out at the Olympics?
This is great, though.
Yeah, but why does this come out at the Olympics?
This is beautiful.
We don't get this at Wimbledon.
Maybe because of all the pressure on them to do well, and they were expected to do well, and at least one of them medal in the singles. So I think that's why all of a sudden, you know, they got kind of heated or whatever. I was totally shocked with all three of the women in terms of their attitude and whatnot. That disappointed
me. Not only that, then you got the frustration of all of them because this is like the hardest surface to play on top of, you know, when you talk about the circuit, playing on clay. So you got that frustration. You got everything else that you guys talked about. I'm loving this because where's the best place to take a beef? New York City. And everybody's headed to the U.S. Open, right? That's what's going to be beautiful, man. I can't wait for that.
You think there will be some drama.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Take that beef to New York. They got five boroughs waiting for you. They can get Don King on the phone.
We're spending time this morning waiting for it to come out live with Kara Pastana. Always great to catch up with her. And talking tennis, of course, with Tennis Panorama News. And she is social. You can always find her at Tennis News TPN, Tennis News TPN. Okay, on the men's side, U.S. and got some hardware yesterday. And that was good to see.
They sure did. The men took the silver and the bronze in men's doubles. Taylor Fritz, Tommy Paul, they got the bronze. Rajiv Ram and Austin Krajicek the silver. Looking at the medal ceremony, of course, the winners, the Aussies led by Ebden, they were all happy. But the other happiest person on that podium was Taylor Fritz. You would have thought he won a gold. He was just so happy to get a medal. Yeah. He was just so happy to get a medal. And, you know, for me, that's kind of like what the Olympics is about. Sometimes it's not about coming in first. Sometimes it's just being there, being able to participate.
Yeah. But we're going to say that about this match that's coming up here in a few minutes. Because it does matter. And this is the match that we thought we would get to see. Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz. Again, just a few weeks after we saw them, you know, last at Wimbledon. Here we are on the clay. Thoughts about this match, you know, going in where Djokovic is. Is his knee going to be okay? Is his knee going to hold up here today?
You know, he keeps saying that maybe it's a day-to-day thing with him and his knee. And granted, I'm just going to say this, his side of the draw was not as difficult as Carlos Alcaraz's side of the draw. So he got a little bit of a gift there. But, we'll see. I mean, as far as services go, clay is probably the best surface if you're having knee problems. If this were hard court, I don't think he would have made it to the final. But today, Alcaraz remembers the last time they played at the French Open last year when Carlos got nervous and cramped up and everything else. He's going to remember that and lost to Djokovic. He's going to remember and he's going to make corrections. I do believe that because from what I've seen of his young career, he's always making adjustments. My prediction, I'm going to say Alcaraz in straight sets.
How much longer do you think Djokovic has got on the tour?
As long as he wants to play.
Okay, well then my question is how long, given what he's done so far, and given what, mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's going to be a point, maybe after next year's Australian, maybe after Wimbledon, that if Alcaraz mm-hmm. does not get injured, he's going to keep dominating this dude. And at some point, you got to back up 10 yards and just say, all right, it's my time. And so with that being the thought pattern, a year, 2 more years?
Yeah, I think that it all depends on how serious this knee problem really is. And when I first heard about his knee issue, I kept flashing back to Roger Federer because the beginning of the end of his career was when he slipped and fell and hurt his knee and had to have one surgery and then another. I'm like, oh, this could be the beginning of the end because the knees, when you're a tennis player, yep. Crucial. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to say 2 more years. Because, like I said, it all depends on the knee. I mean, he's done everything there is to do with the exception of a gold medal at the Olympic Games. He had a bronze in Beijing in 2008, but he wants that gold. Because one thing I remember, in the first round of the Rio Olympic Games, he lost to Juan Martín Del Potro. And he was sobbing as he walked off the court. He was sobbing. And that's how much it meant to him to play in the Olympics, but he wanted to win. He wants to win a gold medal.
Yeah, that's something he wants so bad to do. Talk about the transition they're getting ready to make. To me, this has been a very challenging transition to go from clay to grass back to clay, and now they got to come and play on the hard surface. There are a number of players who have a little bit of a start on them, haven't gotten a chance to play here in Atlanta. They're playing in D.C. this week. But thoughts about the catch-up that these players have to have. And this is usually a time when they get a little break, you know, before they come to the States. And they're not going to get that this time.
No, they're not going to get that. And some players have already said they're not playing the next Masters event, which is in Canada, in Toronto and Montreal. I mean, Djokovic, Alcaraz, most of the big players say, oh, I'm not playing in this next tournament because they need time to adjust going back to North America. And I guess getting in some practice before the next big tournament after that, which is in Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, right before, and Cincinnati, 2 weeks after Cincinnati is the U.S. Open. So, you know, they just have to, I mean, Clay is a different beast to play on than hard court. It, you know, Clay absorbs, you know, shocks and whatnot, whereas a hard court, it doesn't absorb anything. You absorb the pain from the hard court.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
We know that very, very well, painfully well. you do that, you know, but it also it's a surface that our American players are more familiar on, and since mm-hmm. we spend more time on it, so I'm sure the ones who've had to stay and play, they, like you said, and Taylor Fritz thrilled about the opportunity to get a medal, period, but now he wants mm-hmm. to get back on this surface that he's very familiar with and been very successful on.
It's Karen Pisana joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, before we let you get out of here, give us what you believe is kind of an update with the U.S. Open right around the corner. These guys are going to feel like they're...
Oh, yes.
They're...
Well, we have the countdown. It begins on August the 26th, but the qualifying tournament begins the week before, August the 19th. Well, you know, the U.S. Open's always ready and whatnot. And, of course, people are probably, again, looking on the men's side to see if Alcaraz, who won the tournament a couple of years ago, can get a third major on the year. Because he won the French, he won Wimbledon. The last person to win three majors in the year, of course, was Djokovic last year. but this year, Djokovic hasn't even won a tournament, which is shocking. But anyway, on the women's side, of course, number one, Iga Swiatek. It really doesn't matter although clay is her best surface by far. I mean, she has won a U.S. Open. So I looked to her to do well. And, of course, defending champion Coco Gauff should get her feet back on the ground, so to speak, when she hits the hard courts of the U.S. Open. So I look at those two as doing well and getting back to the final. That's what I see at the moment.
Greg and I always talk about Naomi Osaka and her comeback and how, you know, you feel like getting back on the hard court, getting back to New York might be good for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Because hard court is where she thrives. All four of her majors come from hard court, and that's two Australians, two U.S. Open. So it's like back home in several ways for her, getting back to the U.S. Open.
Karen.
So yeah, we'll see how she does.
Yeah, really, really, really.
Karen, how does it feel? You got the first golden microphone. You're gonna put it up on your mantle. You're gonna put it in your. We gotta send her something. We gotta do a little something.
We can get a little. I can put it on my mantle above the fireplace.
We should have that established here at the radio station and for all the shows. All right. If you have a correspondent that covers all the majors of that particular sport, and then you get an Olympics thrown in there, you should get the golden microphone.
Now you got your flight's delayed. What time are you getting out of there? Because you're supposed to have been leaving.
Well, I am now not getting out of here until tomorrow.
What?
So I have an extra day in Chicago.
Okay, Greg. Recommendations. Here we go. Recommendations.
Are you staying downtown? Or are you staying with friends out, like you mentioned, Hyde Park area, which is on the south side, a little bit near south side?
No, I'm not in Hyde Park. I am like basically downtown.
Okay.
And courtesy of the flight that I was supposed to be taking, they're moving me to a different hotel, but at least I'm getting some mileage and a free night.
All right.
So, you know,
let me make a suggestion to you. All right. You're going to get out of your hotel.
Yep.
You're going to walk down one of the busy streets. So you want to stay on busy streets. So you want to get into a Walgreens or one of those places, and you want to get yourself a jar of silver or white nail polish. Okay, and you want to take that. No, listen to this. Stay with me. And you want to take mm-hmm. that. You want to take that around the corner on Superior Street is Gino's East, the famous pizza place, cornmeal crust. You know.
Oh.
Okay, so you want to go to Gino's East. You want to get yourself you know, a pizza from there. But you want to put your name on the wall, and it will stay. Mm-hmm. It will stay there longer with the nail polish. Because if people think they bring a Sharpie or a pen, now you can't mm-hmm. see it. You can't see it. But you get some white nail mm-hmm. polish. You put your name on there. All right. You go back, and you can eat the pizza there, and take it back to your room. When you get back to your room, you want to get online and you want to find out who's performing tonight at Buddy Guy's Legends.
I was at Buddy Guy's on Friday.
See? You know, she knows it. She got some Chicago folks talking to her.
Wow, man.
She went out to Buddy Guy's. Okay, now, all right.
Have you been to Garrett's for the popcorn yet?
Well, she can get Garrett's
I've
all over
the
city. I've
had some of the popcorn already.
Okay,
but I didn't go there, but I have some.
Okay. Did you go to Billy Goat?
No, she won't go. You ain't going to send her to Billy Goat. She ain't a writer, and she ain't a dude. You don't want to send no woman down there by herself. No. Okay. I got the place.
What?
There's a place called, you want to check and see who's performing at Blue Chicago.
Blue Chicago, okay.
Blue Chicago, because they got two clubs that are like three blocks apart, and they stagger the acts. Mm-hmm. So you can pay cover charge to get in one or two blocks apart. And then when that act goes on break, you can literally walk down the street and catch the act of the other one. And do that all. Now, we used to do that when we were younger because you'd want to go back and forth. Mm-hmm. But you could check out the entertainment at both places. So, but she already knew about Buddy Guy's place.
These are good hints here. Somebody from someone I know from the banking world invited me to
She got the hook. We up against the camera. We got to go, but enjoy your time there, and we will talk to you soon. And thank you, as always, for your contribution
to
the show.
Karen.
Thanks so much. Have a good one, guys.
You got it. Karen Pastana having fun in Chicago.
Already been
jealous.
To Buddy Guy's. Already been to Wrigley Field.
Well, she got some folks with her.
She making the rounds now.
She knows where to go. It is Sam and Greg. Got some. Well, listen, we're tapping into Noel's world. You take all the time you want. We'll make it back up on my casting call segment. She is up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Kanan, beautiful punt. As Hester retreats to the 38, and he's passed everybody. Except the punter, and he breezes past him, and it's Devin Hester's night to high step.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I didn't want to waste any more time. I want you to get up in here and not take any more time from your segment, Noel. Heard a little Devin Hester. That was that from the Super Bowl. Was that? I heard some Jim Nance. Hello. You didn't do your hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey. So, y'all know my brain has been all over the place. I have been.
You ain't the only one.
WNBA all through and through. Olympics all over the place. I've been trying to figure out who the Falcons are going to face week one versus the Steelers. Will it be Justin Fields? I've been trying to figure out what Georgia's going to do, what Michigan's going to do, what North Carolina's going to do in this football season. And one thing has passed me, you guys.
One thing
completely slipped me. The Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some of it. Like, I saw when Devin Hester opened his gold jacket, and I liked it. I moved on. I had no concept of time of where we were on the calendar, if that makes sense. Did not realize we were here at the Hall of Fame. And so, it got me to thinking. When Greg mentioned it earlier this morning, I went and looked it up, pulled it up, saw some of the speeches and some of the other things I was doing behind the glass this morning. And it made me realize, guys, the NFL of my youth is going into the Hall of Fame. Like, I'm just now experiencing this. It's the NFL
welcome
of
to
my
our
youth.
World.
No. This is good because it's, yeah.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, we've already been there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the NFL of my youth. Like, I'm looking and I'm like, Julius Peppers? That dude was a staple in my house. And not because we watched a whole bunch of Carolina, but because we watched a whole bunch of North Carolina.
There you go.
So I went from being, yay, Julius, to, ooh, retire.
Can I stop you? What was the most surprising thing about his speech? Because it was to me. Who was there supporting him? Did you know Sam?
Yeah, I saw that.
Jordan was in the behind the scene. He wasn't with Jordan when you would think. You know, he's in the box over here and off to the side or behind the stage.
No, he's cheering.
He was sitting out there amongst the fans.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that, but that was great. And it wasn't even though we know that Julius Peppers played some basketball, we know him as a football player though.
Right.
But for Mike to go out there and support him like that, that was cool.
And I thought that was even greater for me because that's my whole connection with North Carolina, right? Like my dad was a Super Jordan head from Langley all the way through and through. Mm-hmm. So North Carolina was a staple in the house. I mean, VCR set on Saturdays, don't touch my TV type deal. So Julius Pepper has been in my house, for better or worse, with the Carolina Panthers the entire time. And now he's in the Hall of Fame? What?
Yeah.
I watched Devin Hester break.
Father Time is undefeated.
I watched him break. Yeah. Deion, so I watched that high step. I have the jersey in my closet, the 17 Falcons. Yeah, see, not just a bear, the Falcon around here. We got to see the tail end of that greatness as he rolled into the sunset towards the gold jacket. I was there for it. I've seen a lot of I remember when Patrick Willis just up and retired out of nowhere. Went from being one of the best linebackers, top five linebackers in the league, to, well, I'm going to preserve my health and my body and go do something else now.
Yeah.
I have a degree in engineering, so I'm going to go do that. What?
We all have that athlete that when they retired, that was when we officially felt old. That were the same age as us, and we just thought that person ain't never going to retire. And when they retired, I was like, how you going to retire, man? That's, you know, so that's that. Things like that happen, you know.
And that's the next step for me. Like, the next step will be everybody my age going into the Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm watching, like, the football of my middle school and high school years and early college years. And they're,
who's that person?
Know.
Who's that person that's going to go into the Hall, male or female?
Brady.
That you
Brady.
It'll be that era, that era. You know, your Brady's, your Roethlisberger's, your Russell Wilson's, whoever, your Matt Ryan's, whatever. It's gonna be that era to make me really feel old.
And you know what? I forgot this yesterday. I should be slapped upside the head, which I'm sure you'll take great pride in doing. It was his birthday yesterday, and I didn't mention happy 47th birthday, Tom Brady.
Really?
47.
Yeah, it was
yesterday.
His birthday. He had all the rings on, and everybody was.
I ain't seen any pictures of him, but you know.
Yeah, it was Brady's birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Brady.
Happy birthday to him. Move on. Let's go. I'm with you on that.
But and he will be one of the ones that make me go, man.
Yeah.
I sat through all of those Super Bowls. Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, when they finally get in. That's what it felt like seeing what was the indie player that I can't think of his name right now.
Dwight Freeney.
Freeney went in, and he was calling out names, the guys he played with, you know, Edgerrin James. Yeah.
Exactly.
And Harrison.
Guys, yeah, I was setting my clock to, my watch to make sure I watched to see all the highlights and the special things they were going to do. They are all riding into the Hall of Fame, Pat. Right. Like, they are all putting the gold jacket
on.
And it's kind of crazy.
The things that gets me are guys that I covered in high school that go into the Hall of Fame. For me, I had
one. Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
And there's one who's on the list that's getting close, is Torrey Holt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pulled the pin out.
He was on the.
Was it him who pulled the pin out of his sock? Or out of the pad at the end zone after scoring a touchdown.
With New Orleans?
Yeah, he planted a pin in the pad, in the end zone, the pad that goes around the goalpost.
Yep.
He planted, before the game, a Sharpie in there. And so if he scored a touchdown,
the cell phone. He had the cell phone.
Oh, who was the one that had the pin and autographed the ball?
Yeah, Horn had the cell phone.
I'm talking about Torrey Holt that played for the Rams.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Greatest show on turf.
I covered him in high school in North Carolina. And so I'm saying I was kind of selfish, but those guys, people that I covered in high school, as they get to go in the Hall of Fame, I'm like, yikes.
Y'all really going to feel old next year, because you know who headlines those next year? Eli Manning.
And that's what I'm saying.
And Marshawn Lynch.
And that's what I'm saying. And those are the people that's going to start making me, because now we're going from the people that I watched as a kid to the people that were the same age as me playing at the same time. Because now I'm in the era where everybody's younger than me.
Yep.
They all
yep.
whippersnappers now.
Yep.
Whippersnappers.
I'm like, when did I get here?
You know, pretty soon, and it's not just football players. We're going to be talking Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. And she goes,
Yeah. I'm kind of already there, like seeing LeBron, like I was saying last week.
Or even like WNBA, because we have a future Hall of Famer playing for Atlanta Dream now. You know, right to Tina
Charles. Who is my age? You see what I'm saying?
Welcome to the club.
She's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. So,
I mean, she's just racking up the numbers. Like, Tina Charles' career is impeccable. And that's kind of what the Hall of Fame is representing for me now, like seeing all this greatness that I grew up watching. And seeing people that I grew up that grew up from college into the pros, and now I'm watching them ascend to the next stage of their career, whether that's broadcasting or if you're Patrick Willis going to be an electrical engineer or whatever it is, it's kind of amazing and remarkable. Like, it's not just, you know, the 80s and the 90s people that, you know, still trying to get. Like, it was cool when we saw Andre Reed finally get in a few years ago. You know, people like Mongo. You know, like, they shouldn't have took Snape to die to be a Hall of Fame quarterback or whatever. But like,
well,
seeing
see, that
the
gets
people,
us back to those writers again. And don't get me started.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But see, I feel the same way you do about that. Yeah. But seeing the people that I watched every week, whose stats that I saw, people I've been tweeting about. Twitter ain't even that old. People that I was tweeting about, and now they have gold jackets. That is insane.
This is the thing. Nobody wants to be pushed when
right,
it comes to their
right,
age.
Right, right.
But things like
but
this
things
are
happen,
doing it.
Right.
And she's like, no, you ain't supposed to be that old. Then you want to cut yourself in half and count your rings.
It's like, you know how every team has like the media stuff they do, the play in between commercial breaks and all the stuff at the games, right? And so you'll have like 90s night and you'll take these super 2000 babies and ask them a bunch of questions that make me feel old.
Right.
Like, how do you put a cassette in a tape deck? For real, y'all? Really? Really?
Show them a Walkman.
You know what I mean? I'm like, is this how my brother and sister feel about the rotary phone? Like, is it that far of a concept?
Wow.
Can I ask you a question, a serious question? Because actually this is a barbershop conversation, but you touched on it a little bit when she mentioned the Hall of Fame and one person going in next year. It was just between these two people, Marshawn Lynch and Michael Vick. Off the top of your head, dude, am I talking about Hall of Famers?
Yes.
Okay.
Michael Vick?
Those two names and the influence, because sometimes it's influence. Like, we just got through talking about a guy who went in Grant Hill because of his college career.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I said yes on Vick, because his influence is undeniable. I mean, look at the quarterback position right now. Look at what everybody is vying for.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. Somebody that can do a little bit, at least a little bit of shake and bake, right?
Yep.
So you
that gets you in? Does that get you in?
I don't know. Like, to Greg's point, it's going to be up to the writers and what they feel his impact is. I don't know.
Those people are going to crunch numbers,
and that's the other thing. People will crunch numbers.
Well, there's two sides of his career, right? Like, you had the more technical side. I feel like in Philadelphia, where he was actually learning plays and going through progressions and all those things, and then you have the super athletic, exciting side, which was
the eyeball test.
Right,
which is what we saw yesterday.
Here.
Which is the best thing I think the NFL has done, and baseball's done the same thing too. They've got this veterans committee, or they call it different, and they use players who played the game, whose eyes are working, and they're saying, "You writers, you got your stats. You can go over there and chew on them." Randy Gradishar was the baddest linebacker when he played, and you should have put him in there 10 years ago, and they put him in. And we've talked about, we saw with Alan Trammell in baseball as far as. Guys left off the list. Boy, in my house, they're talking about Lou Whitaker. Crazy wants Lou Whitaker in there. And it's that veterans committee that will do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen player after player over the years be brought in because that league realized, okay, the guys that are putting them in are just looking at numbers. But we should have the input of these players who can tell this guy was an Hall of Famer. He was one of the best players during the time he played. And they're righting some wrongs in the minds of a lot of people.
Sterling Sharp is kind of waiting for that.
Yes, yeah. I need that. I'm going to tell you a player that I've been fighting for years. It's a special teamer. And I feel like we need to put more respect on special teams.
Okay.
Steve Tasker should be a Hall of Famer.
I ain't got no problem with that.
Steve Tasker.
Neither.
The way he was downing the ball on the 10 at a regular basis, like, if you do special teams correctly, if you actually scout for it, if you prepare for it, special teams is a weapon. It can flip a game. It can flip a field. And somebody like Devin Hester and Steve Tasker, they did it differently, but they did it, and they did it consistently.
And the special players, the special team players, and not just football, have started to get. It's coming slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first person that they acknowledged like that when they put a kicker, Jan Stenerud. Who played for Kansas City.
Yeah.
He was one of the first ones. And then little by little, you got these special team players.
Did Ray Guy get in?
Yes.
Ray Guy got in.
Yeah.
The only one I was – baseball was designated hitter from Seattle. Edgar
Martinez.
Martinez. That dude should have been in before he got in, but he eventually got in.
What you got with Harold Baines?
Harold
Baines. You think about him?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
he
got promoted a lot quicker in the minds of people who followed him with the White Sox than he should have been. He was a very, very good player. Great. That's up for debate. But when I watched him, he didn't do anything great. He did compile some numbers, but I wouldn't have a problem if he goes in. But that's one of those borderline ones, Harold Baines, to me at least. To me at least. And there's other ones. How come we didn't mention any more basketball dudes? Like six men?
Good
like,
point. Yeah, there should be more. Like, okay, like, does Lou Will as two-time sixth man of the year, is that enough to get into?
See, I don't know if you can do that in basketball, though.
What's that?
having that outlier position. There is no real outlier position in basketball where you special teams player or relief pitcher, something like that. You're in the game or you ain't in the game.
True. But is there, because I don't know, so I really am asking, but is there like that special consideration for that consistent six man? Because that is a position that we give an award to consistently. So why wouldn't that be something that we...
The Vinnie Johnson Award? The Microwave Award coming off the bench?
Whatever you want to call it.
Well, just like stats that we started keeping as the game went on. You didn't always
like sacks?
You'd always keep sacks.
Yeah, you're right.
That's something
Deacon Jones invented sacks.
Magic invented the triple-double, or it was the first person that started doing that, even though Oscar did it for a year.
Oscar.
Who was the one that Deacon Jones?
Yep, Deacon Jones, with the sacks.
With the sack. Well, actually,
they gave it a name.
Yeah, they gave it a name.
They'd always have been getting the quarterback. They just didn't have a name for it and didn't have a category. Didn't keep the stat. Yeah.
So, future
Hall of Famers, y'all.
So, congratulations to all the Hall of Famers, future, past, and present.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a little misty when you saw Steve McMichael? Did you watch all that? Are you going to watch it later?
I saw a little bit of that, and that's another thing I've been out of the loop of, because he's one of my favorite football personalities, to be honest, Mongo.
Thank you. Right. He's one of my favorite personalities, but he was a too.
Yeah, no, he was. Those are two different things, right? And if you're somebody that can be...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Kanan, beautiful punt. As Hester retreats to the 38, and he's passed everybody. Except the punter, and he breezes past him, and it's Devin Hester's night to high step.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. I didn't want to waste any more time. I want you to get up in here and not take any more time from your segment, Noel. Heard a little Devin Hester. Was that from the Super Bowl? I heard some gymnast. Hello. You didn't do your hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. So, y'all know my brain has been all over the place. I have been.
You ain't the only one.
WNBA. All through and through, Olympics all over the place. I've been trying to figure out who the Falcons are going to face week one versus the Steelers. Will it be Justin Fields? I've been trying to figure out what Georgia's going to do, what Michigan's going to do, what North Carolina's going to do in this football season. And one thing has passed me, you guys.
What's
one
that?
Thing completely slipped me. The Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some of it. Like, I saw when Devin Hester opened his gold jacket, and mm-hmm. I liked it. I moved on. I had no concept of time of where we were on the calendar, if that makes sense. Did not realize we were here at the Hall of Fame. And so, it got me to thinking. When Greg mentioned it earlier this morning, I went and looked it up, pulled it up, saw some of the speeches and some of the other things I was doing behind the glass this morning. And it made me realize, guys, the NFL of my youth is going into the Hall of Fame. Like, I'm just now experiencing this. It's the NFL
welcome
of
to
my
our
youth.
World.
No. She, this is good because it's, yeah.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, yeah, we've already like been
the,
there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the NFL of my youth. Like, I'm looking and I'm like, Julius Peppers? That dude was a staple in my house. And not because we watched a whole bunch of Carolina, mm-hmm. but because we watched a whole bunch of North Carolina.
There you yeah. go.
So and he went from being, I went from being, yay, Julius, to, ooh, retire.
Can I stop you? What was the most surprising thing about his speech? Because it was to me, who was there supporting him? Did you know Sam?
Yeah, I saw that.
Jordan was in the, he wasn't in behind the scene. He wasn't with Jordan when you would think. You know, he's in the box over here and off to the side or behind the stage.
No, he's cheering.
He was sitting out there amongst the fans.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that, but that was great. And it wasn't, even though we know that Julius Peppers played some basketball, we know him as a football player though.
Right.
But for Mike to go out there and support him like that, that was cool.
And I thought that was even greater for me because that's my whole connection with North Carolina, right? Like my dad was a super Jordan head from Langley all the way through and through. Mm-hmm. So North Carolina was a staple in the house. I mean, VCR set on Saturdays, don't touch my TV type deal. So Julius Peppers has been in my house for better or worse with the Carolina Panthers the entire time. And now he's in the Hall of Fame? What?
Yeah.
I watched Devin Hester break.
Father Time is undefeated.
I watched him break. Deion, so I watched that high step. I have the jersey in my closet, the 17 Falcons. Yes, he's not just a bear. The Falcon around here. We got to see the tail end of that greatness as he rolled into the sunset towards the gold jacket. I was there for it. I've seen a lot of I remember when Patrick Willis just up and retired out of nowhere. Went from being one of the best linebackers, top five linebackers in the league to – well, I'm going to preserve my health and my body and go do something else now.
Yeah.
I have a degree in engineering, so I'm going to go do that. What?
We all have that athlete that when they retired, that was when we officially felt old. That were the same age as us, and we just thought that person ain't never going to retire. And when they retired, it's like, how you going to retire, man? Things like that happen, you know.
And that's the next step for me. Like, the next step will be everybody my age going into the Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm watching, like, the football of my middle school and high school years and early college years. And they're,
who's that person? Who's that person that's going to go into the Hall, male or female?
Brady.
That you go,
Brady.
It'll be that era. That era, you know, your Brady's, your Roethlisberger's, your Russell Wilson's, whoever, your Matt Ryan's, whatever. It's going to be that era to make me really feel old.
And you know what? I forgot this yesterday. I should be slapped upside the head, which I'm sure you'll take great pride in doing. It was his birthday yesterday, and I didn't mention happy 47th birthday, Tom Brady.
Really?
47
yesterday.
Yeah,
it was yesterday. His birthday. He had all the rings on, and everybody was
I didn't see any pictures of him, but, you know.
Yeah, it was Brady's birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Brady.
Birthday to him. Move on. Let's go. I'm with you on that.
But and he will be one of the ones that make me go, man.
Yeah.
I sat through all of those Super Bowls. Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, when they finally get in. That's what it felt like seeing what was the indie player that I can't think of his name right now.
Dwight Freeney.
Freeney went in and he was calling out names, the guys he played with, you know, Edgerrin James
exactly.
And Harrison.
Guys, I was setting my watch to make sure I watched to see all the highlights and the special things they were gonna do. They are all riding into the Hall of Fame, Pat. Like they are all putting the gold jacket
and
on, and it's kind of crazy.
The things that gets me are guys that I covered in high school that go into the Hall of Fame. For me, I had
like Calvin Johnson.
Johnson, and there's one who's on the list is getting close. Is Torrey Holt?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pulled the pin out.
He was on.
him who pulled the pin out of his sock? Or out of the pad at the end zone after scoring a touchdown.
With New Orleans?
Yeah, he planted a pin in the pad in the end zone, the pad that goes around the goalpost.
Yep.
He planted, before the game, a Sharpie in there. And so if he scored a touchdown,
He had the cell phone.
Who was the one that had the pin and autographed the ball?
Yeah, Horn had the cell phone.
I'm talking about Torrey Holt that played for the Rams.
Oh, that's right. Greatest show on turf.
I covered him in high school in North Carolina. And so I'm saying I was kind of selfish with those guys, people that I covered in high school, as they get to go in the Hall of Fame. I'm like, yikes.
Y'all really going to feel old next year because you know who headlines those?
Who?
Next year? Eli Manning.
And that's what I'm saying.
And Marshawn Lynch.
And that's what I'm saying. And those are the people that's going to start making me because now we're going from the people that I watched as a kid to the people that were the same age as me playing at the same time. Because now I'm in the era where everybody's younger than me.
Yep.
They all
yep.
whippersnappers now.
Yep.
Whippersnappers.
I'm like, how? When did I get here?
you know, pretty soon, and it's not just football players. We're going to be talking Ray Allen and mm-hmm. Paul Pierce. And she goes,
I'm kind of already there, like seeing LeBron, like I was saying last week.
Or even like WNBA, because we have a future Hall of Famer playing for Atlanta Dream now. You know, right?
Tina Charles, who is my age? Do you see what I'm saying?
Welcome to the club.
She's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer.
So, I mean, she's just racking up the numbers. Like Tina Charles' career is impeccable, and that's kind of what the Hall of Fame is representing for me now. Like seeing all this greatness that I grew up watching, and seeing people that I grew up that grew up from college into the pros, and now I'm watching them ascend to the next stage of their career, whether that's broadcasting or if you're Patrick Willis going to be an electrical engineer or whatever it is. It's kind of amazing and remarkable. Like, it's not just, you know, the 80s and the 90s people that, you know, still trying to get in. Like, it was cool when we saw Andre Reed finally get in a few years ago, you know, people like Mongo, you know, like, they shouldn't have took Snape to die to be a Hall of Fame quarterback or whatever. But, like,
well,
seeing the people...
Well, see, that gets us back to those writers again, and don't get me started.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But see, I feel the same way you do about that. Yeah. But seeing the people that I watched every week, whose stats that I saw, people I've been tweeting about. Twitter ain't even that old. People that I was tweeting about, and now they have gold jackets. That is insane.
This is the thing. Nobody wants to be pushed.
Right,
when it comes to their age.
Right, right.
But things like this
certain things
are
happen,
doing it.
Right.
And she's like, no, you ain't supposed to be that old. Then you want to cut yourself in half and count your rings.
It's like, you know how every team has like the media stuff they do, the play in between commercial breaks and all the stuff at the games, right? And so you'll have like 90s night and you'll take these super 2000 babies and ask them a bunch of questions that make me feel old.
Right.
Like, how do you put a cassette in a tape deck? For real, y'all? Really? Really?
Show them a Walkman.
You know what I mean? I'm like, is this how my brother and sister feel about the rotary phone? Like, is it that far of a concept?
Wow.
Can I ask you a question, a serious question? Because actually this is a barbershop conversation, but you touched on it a little bit when she mentioned the Hall of Fame and one person going in next year. It was just between these two people, Marshawn Lynch and Michael Vick. Off the top of your head, dude, am I talking about Hall of Famers?
Yes.
Okay.
Michael Vick?
Those two names and the influence, because sometimes it's influence. Like, we just got through talking about a guy who went in Grant Hill because of his college career.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I said yes on Vick, because his influence is undeniable. I mean, look at the quarterback position right now. Look at what everybody is vying for.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. Somebody that can do at least a little bit of shake and bake, right?
Yep.
So you
that gets you in? Does that get you in?
I don't know. Like, to Greg's point, it's going to be up to the writers and what they feel his impact is. I don't know.
Those people are going to crunch numbers,
and that's the other thing. People will crunch numbers.
Well, there's two sides of his career, right? Like, you had the more technical side. I feel like in Philadelphia, where he was actually, you know, learning plays and going through progressions and all those things, and then you have the super athletic, exciting side, which was
the eyeball test.
Right, which is what we saw yesterday.
Which is why the best thing I think the NFL has done, and baseball's done the same thing too. They've got this veterans committee, or they call it different, and they use people who played the game, whose eyes are working, and they're saying, "You writers, you got your stats. You can go over there and chew on them." Randy Gradishar was the baddest linebacker when he played, and you should put him in there 10 years ago, and they put him in. And we've talked about, we saw with Alan Trammell in baseball as far as. Guys left off the list. Boy, in my house, they're talking about Lou Whitaker. Crazy wants Lou Whitaker in there. And it's that veterans committee that will do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen player after player over the years be brought in because that league realized, okay, the guys that are putting them in are just looking at numbers. But we should have the input of these players who can tell this guy was an Hall of Famer. He was one of the best players during the time he played. And they're righting some wrongs in the minds of a lot of people.
Sterling Sharp is kind of waiting for that.
Yes, I need that. I'm going to tell you a player that I've been fighting for years. It's a special teamer, and I feel like we need to put more respect on special teams.
Okay.
Steve Tasker should be a Hall of Famer.
I ain't got no problem with that.
Steve Tasker.
Me either. Me either.
The way he was downing the ball on the 10 at a regular basis, like, if you do special teams correctly, if you actually scout for it, if you prepare for it, special teams is a weapon. It can flip a game. It can flip a field. And somebody like Devin Hester and Steve Tasker, they did it differently, but they did it, and they did it consistently.
And the special players, the special team players, and not just football, have started to get. It's coming slow. Mm-hmm. I think the first person that they acknowledged like that when they put a kicker, Jan Stenerud, who played for Kansas City.
Yeah.
He was one of the first ones. And then little by little, you got these special team players.
Did Ray Guy get in?
Yes.
Ray Guy got in.
Yeah.
The other one I was at baseball was designated hitter from Seattle. Edgar
Martinez.
Martinez. That dude should have been in before he got in, but he eventually got in.
What you got with Harold Baines?
Harold
Baines. Think about it. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
he
got promoted a lot quicker in the minds of people who followed him with the White Sox than he should have been. He was a very, very good player. Great. That's up for debate, but when I watched him, he didn't do anything great. He did compile some numbers, but I wouldn't have a problem if he goes in. But that's one of those borderline ones, Harold Baines, to me at least. To me, at least. And there's other ones. With how come we didn't mention any more basketball dudes? Like six men?
Good point. Like, yeah, there should be more. Like, okay, like, does Lou Will, as two-time six man of the year, is that enough to get into?
See,
I don't know if you can do that in basketball, though.
What's that?
Having that outlier position. There is no real outlier position in basketball where you special teams player or relief pitcher, something like that. You're in the game or you ain't in the game.
True, but is there, because I don't know, so I really am asking, but is there like that special consideration for that consistent six man? Because that is a position that we give an award to consistently, so why wouldn't that be something that we...
The Vinnie Johnson Award? The Microwave Award coming off the bench?
Whatever you want to call it.
Well, just like stats that we started keeping as the game went on. You didn't always
like sacks?
You'd always keep sacks.
Yeah, you're right.
That's something
Deacon Jones invented sacks.
Magic invented
the
triple-double, or it was the first person to start doing that, even though Oscar did it for a year. Who was the one that Deacon Jones?
Yep, Deacon Jones, with the sacks.
With the sack. Well, actually, he did.
Well, they gave it a name.
Yeah,
They'd always been getting the quarterback. They just didn't have a name for it and didn't have a category. Didn't keep a stat. Yeah.
So, future
Hall of Famers, y'all.
So, congratulations to all the Hall of Famers, future, past, and present.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a little misty when you saw Steve McMichael? Did you watch all that? Are you going to watch it later?
I saw a little bit of that, and that's another thing I've been out of the loop of, because he's one of my favorite football personalities, to be honest, Mongo.
Thank you. Right. He's one of my favorite personalities, but he was a too.
Yeah, no, he was. Those are two different things, right? And if you're somebody that can be both, you definitely got a career on your hands, right? So, he's one of those people that were both.
He was allowed to do what he did because of the guy who played next to him, who will not get in the Hall of Fame, but be the most one of the most remembered people of that 85 Bears team, and that's the Fridge.
Yeah,
You were not running through that line when the Fridge was there.
Not at all.
And McMichael and Dan Hampton to do their thing.
Yep.
And then Singletary coming in, and you had Wilbur Marshall on the outside, and oh, please don't get me
Wilson.
Thank you.
You're going to make put the Super Bowl shuffle on.
Yeah, man. Know about them folks.
So, anyway, thank you, Noelle's World.
I know.
For this day.
She on target today.
But she's feeling old today.
She's feeling a certain kind of way.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to continue talking about these little off-the-beaten-path parts of sports where Sam was a part of an event not too long ago with officiating, which brought you there. And then they gave you a little bit of swag, too.
Yeah.
And you brought it back here. And you're keeping it in the box. You're not going to take it out.
I'm not going to take it out.
You're going to give it a little test run?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're going to talk about that and everything surrounding that. Also, Miles Garrett from Fox 5 is going to join us. And got a fresh casting along with a story. And we're going to talk a little bit about what Mr. Crenshaw experienced at one of the studios here, talking about a project having to do with the Olympics. We're bringing this thing back. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.